I heard, Dr. Hawking, I heard about a missionary coming from Nigeria to come to America to help reach his people here in America. Wow. You imagine that? He said, the Nigerians are over here coming, they're getting all caught up in the world and they don't want God. The brother Pak, the Korean man today, and he said a lot of our Korean people in here in America, they're not even saved, and they go to church. He said they're not born again. He said they get mad at me when I ask them, are you born again? And they go, ugh. When did you get born again? They don't know. They're not saved. Their religion will never get you to heaven. Romans chapter 16. Thank you, girls. Let's listen to the words and let those songs challenge our hearts. What a beautiful, challenging song. Romans chapter 16. It's going to be good in that new building on the patio. If you're on the patio, can you say amen? Good. It's waking up the one sleeping out there. I like to peek out there. I can see you. Megan, are you all the way in the back? Are you in the back? Okay, Paul, move over a little bit. Can you move over a little bit? See where Megan is? Everybody look at Megan. See her? That's about the deepest our entire auditorium in the new building will be. And it's nice. It's designed so that you can fit a lot of people, and everybody's pretty close. And so that's the way it was designed, and it's going to be great. Romans chapter 16, verse number 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she had need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, an encourager, and myself also. Greet Priscilla. By the way, you see these verses, the beginning of Romans chapter 16, and how gracious and kind Paul is, but he had a lot of workers. And he's just saying, hey, greet these people. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. And Priscilla. Priscilla's in the nursery, right, Brother Cody? There's a Priscilla. I like these Bible names. Matthew. I like that. Matthew Beck. Sounds like a future evangelist or something, you know. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have, for my life, laid down their own necks. You know, these were Christians that were just really close to Paul and willing to lay down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. House church. And that couple, the Korean couple, said, yeah, in China where we were, you couldn't have church. You have to have house church. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus. Who is the first fruits, first people saved of Acacia, unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. And he's just, all these people he's addressing. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Greet Ampilus. Ramplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. All these salutations, just a warm greeting in Christ. And Statius, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them that which are Aristobulus household. Salute Herodian, my kinsmen. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, not the narcissist that we know, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa. I didn't study, but sounds like brothers or sisters who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermas. One's Hermas and one's Hermas. And the brethren which are with them, salute Philologus, Julia, Nerus, and his sister. See, there are some people's names that he couldn't pronounce also. And Olympus, and all the, he got tired, and all the saints that are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. Guys, don't do it to our girls. The churches of Christ salute you. All these salutations, all these, just these people, he just greet them, and fellow laborers and fellow people that lay down their necks, and all these people by name. Now, verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. Oh, wait a minute, we're not saluting people right now. We're marking people. Mark them which cause divisions. He didn't say salute them. He said mark them. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine or the teaching which ye have learned, and avoid them. Okay? So he saluted a bunch of people, and then he said, the people that are causing problems, he said, mark them. Avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good work, good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. I want you to look at verse 19. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, in your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. Wise unto that which is good. Let's know and learn and study about the goodness of God, the good things of God, good works for God, and simple about evil. Anything about evil, let's be simple about it. You don't need to know everything about the evil. Father, help us as we just look at your word tonight. And what a loving apostle Paul, and how he was personable and obviously close to so many godly people. But then he had to deal with certain situations, and did it with courage, boldness, filled with the Spirit. Bless as we just speak about truths from your word tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The Apostle Paul was being very kind and loving. Saluting is to greet with kindness. The Apostle Paul also, that was verses 1 through 16, verse 17, the Apostle Paul also encouraged separation. We're not going to talk about separation tonight. He didn't bash them. He didn't hate them. He said avoid them. And let me say this tonight. There's people to avoid. Okay, it's all through the Bible. Make no friendship with an angry man. Avoid him. Okay? Then the Apostle Paul encourages the same people to be naive, innocent, or simple about evil. And wise or well-read, well-learned about good, in verse 19. Satan seems to be succeeding on keeping the church from being on the offensive for God by distracting God's people to spend time on the defensive distractions because of a lack of simpleness about evil. Satan is also dimming the spiritual senses of God's people with all the junk people are getting that is evil from many different ways. But I want to talk a little bit at the end of the message about technology. In the year 2013, we will need God's word, God's grace, and much effort on our part to be simple about evil and wise about good. In year 2013, we will need special diligence to keep our children simple about evil and wise about good. Modern technology is destroying the innocence of our children. That little baby that was born, was it last night, Mr. Beck, or this morning? This morning? That little baby's innocent. Now we have, I like our children being in church. You say, oh man, Pastor, I got to elbow them and grab them by the headlock and try to, they don't sit up straight. It's good to just teach them to sit up straight. The more they're in church, the easier it is they're going to learn to sit up in church. But these little ones, they're innocent. I have a series on child rearing, and it's called the Innocent Years. There used to be a day where, you know, we can keep our children innocent for a long time. And by the way, God wants all of us to be innocent. When our children lose their innocence, they lose a clear conscience that very well may cause them to become spiritually shipwrecked, according to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. Brother Suter has a good message. It's called Satan's Great Secret Weapon. And Satan's great secret weapon in his message, and I won't re-preach it, we don't have time, is people keeping secrets. Wives keeping secrets from their husbands. Husbands keeping secrets from their wives. And Brother Ross, children keeping secrets from their parents. When our children lose their innocence, they lose spiritual direction. Their mind is polluted with filth. Their conscience is filled with guilt because they're hiding things from their parents. They think they're hiding things from God, but might I remind you that God is omniscient. He knows everything. And nobody can hide anything from God. Then they can't hear God's, they might look at God's word. We wonder why there's such disinterest in some young people. It's because they violated their conscience, they're no longer innocent, and now their mind is beginning, and it, by the way, the Bible talks about a seared conscience. The conscience, little by little, gets seared, and we wonder why they have that look. They lose closeness with their parents when they lose the simpleness, simple about evil. When they lose their innocence, they lose their closeness with their parents. They lose their closeness with God. Pastor, how are children losing their simpleness, their innocence about evil? Romans chapter 16 and 19 talks about. Well, since you asked, I'll tell you. Public media is causing our young people to lose their simpleness or innocence. Public media is teaching our girls to be sexy in their dress, sexy in how they talk, sexy in how they look, sexy in how they act. God never asked a girl or commanded a girl or encouraged a girl or hinted at a girl to be sexy. They're supposed to be holy. And they're supposed to be modest. Where are they learning that? They're losing their innocence. I'm amazed to see now how little children now. By the way, moms and dads, what mom wears, your children should wear. Say, well, she's little. She doesn't know. There's going to be a day when you're going to have to fight her because she's always been wearing different types of clothes that you wouldn't wear, and you might want to just have her modest when she's 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. You say, but your neighbors don't know the Bible. low-cut blouses. You say, Pastor, I thought this is the Bible. Innocence. I see little girls. They don't even know what they're doing. I was somewhere once, and I saw a little girl shaking her body. I'm like, there needs to be a father or mother that says, don't do that. They're losing their innocence when they're little, little children now. By the time they're 11 or 12 years old, and by the way, 11 and 12, you're still supposed to be simple about evil and wise about good. Public media is teaching our young men also to try to be effeminate. They don't even know it. Our young men don't even know. They're teaching us to talk, to walk, to dress. Tight pants is in on guys. Let me just say this. A pastor, I don't like it. That's okay. When you pastor a church, you can preach it. Tight pants? Come on. What is that? What is tight pants? They're getting that from Hollywood. You're not getting that from the Bible. You're not getting that from John Castle. You're not getting it from Dr. Hawking back there that's been a missionary for 57 years. You're not getting that from Brother Ross, who's been a youth pastor and loves God. Tight pants? Where are you getting that from? You're getting that from somewhere, someone who's not a Christian. We're not mad at you. Just somebody every once in a while needs to say, yeah, what are you doing? Brother Kyle asked me, he said, dad, he didn't call me dad. I said, Pastor, what's the thing about the tight pants? By the way, I got 5 boys. I had to tell my son, what's the tight pants thing? Well, that's the way they make them. Buy the ones where they were making them before. They don't make them anymore. They do at the Salvation Army. But my junior hire is going to get mad at you. Listen, you might be happy that you have a pastor that helps you. I'm saying what you want to say, but maybe we get together and we can all have the courage and the boldness to say, listen, the Bible condemns effeminate young men. Nowadays, you walk down the street and it's like these guys, they look effeminate, they talk effeminate, their dress is effeminate. Hey, guys, put some jeans on, put a shirt on, and be a man. Hollywood is desensitizing our young men. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says, young men are not supposed to be effeminate. Technology is the biggest tool to destroy our young people's scriptural simpleness. Innocence. Innocence. Let me share just a few suggestions here tonight. Say, but Pastor, I want my children to be innocent. What kind of advice would you give? Number one, moms and dads, walk with God. Now, I'm not a... There was a family in our church, and they had a blind daughter. She worked for Carl's Jr. as a cashier. She knew what a $20 bill felt like. Yeah, a $100 bill. I guess she felt Benjamin Franklin's nose or something. Now, nowadays, they put like a little mark on a $100 bill, but I've been told, and I don't know, I haven't studied it, and probably you can go home and Google it on the internet, but they say the best way to be able to tell a counterfeit is to know what the real thing feels like. You know, the best way to know what a counterfeit, something that's evil, is do real well at knowing what's good. I'm going to study Satanism and I'm going to... No, 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 no. Study God. Study the Holy Spirit. Study Matthew. Study Mark. Study Luke. Study John. Study the Bible. And all of a sudden you'll say, you know what? I can't figure it out, but something's wrong here. I said, Pastor, how do we keep our children innocent? We do need to fight the devil and fight the world and expose it. But when you're walking close to God and His Word, I'll never forget, There was a really good family I knew, and these were kids were super innocent, super innocent. Well, I don't want my kids to be innocent. They won't know how to work it out in the world. I don't want them to work it out in the world. These kids were super protected, but they were wise kids. And there was a junior church offering, and the offering plate went by, and one of the kids looked left, one of the kids looked right, and he took some money out. And this kid, the innocent kid, the kid that hadn't been exposed to the world, he said, "Hey, this guy's stealing from God." Well, nowadays, they might not like me. I'd rather God like me than they like me. Teach your children to walk close to God. Houston, we have two problems here today. We have spiritually anemic children with very weak spiritual immune systems. And then we have an epidemic of spiritually deadening contagious viruses that are being picked up easily by spiritually weak young people. You know, if you can have real strong spiritual children. Okay, my nephew had a liver transplant, and he can't. Whenever if someone's sick, it's like don't come over his house because the immune system is real weak. There's different ways to strengthen your immune system. There's different ways. You know, some of you know better than I would. Vitamin C boosts your immune system. There's different ways to suppress to hurt your immune system. But what we have nowadays, we have a lot of weak spiritual immune systems. So if you have both of those, if you have a weak young person, and then you have all the viruses of the world, you need to expect a young person being sick. And I don't mean sick physically, they're going to be sick spiritually. So what's the best defense about all that junk? Have a spiritual young person. And moms and dads, it's the church and the school are just to help you. It is mom and dad's responsibility to teach your children the Word of God. You say, "I'm busy." You need to stop something then. You need to slow down, teach and love and pray together and read the scriptures together and talk about the things of God together. We have spiritually anemic children with very weak spiritual immune system. We have an epidemic of spiritually deadening contagious viruses that are being picked up easily by spiritually weak young people. If we teach our children to walk close to God in the homes, then they can withstand some unusual temptations that are in society. But I tell that to my children. I say, yeah, there's a lot of junk out there. We need to be careful. And by the way, we're going to have fun here in a minute. We're going to do some things I think you'll like if you're a little tired right now. But I say, look, kids, it's not all about the don'ts. It's about do love God. Do glorify God. Do walk with God. Have fellowship with God. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's more important than anything else. Now, at the same time, we do want to not make provision for the flesh, and we do want to do what the Apostle Paul said, is, hey, you need to you know, stay away, mark certain people and so forth, but that's not what it's all about. I've never asked anybody, but let me encourage you, dads, have a family altar at your home. Say, "Pastor, what's a family altar?" And every once in a while I'll do this. We just sit down. And we read the Bible at our house. By the way, I never had my dad do that. I never had my mother do it. Now, we've been doing it since the children were babies. And we read the Bible. Then we go around the horn. And we ask the children to give a blessing. You say, "Oh, but Pastor, I'm too busy." Then you're too busy. You're too busy. Your little children, someday, they are going to grow up and they're going to be out. They're going to be on their own. You know what they need to do? They need to see dad as the spiritual leader of the home. with mom right by dad's side, with a Bible open, with prayer and with blessings and with occasional prayers answered that we discuss, and we get on our knees and we can pray together. Talk to your children about spiritual things to see where they are spiritually. And don't interrogate them all. Just talk to them. See where they are. Look in their eyes. Ask God for some discernment. Don't wait until they're 14 and they got that look and you're saying, man, what am I going to do now? It's never too late, but sometimes it's almost too late. Talk to them and spend time with them, and don't depend on the church and the school to build them spiritually. We're behind you and we're supporting you. We're trying to teach the word of God, and that's our responsibility. But we cannot raise up godly children. That's your responsibility. We're here to support you. We're here to say the same thing that you're saying in your home. We're here, and sometimes there may be a dad, and we didn't come from Christian homes, and they need to hear the same thing behind the pulpit as we're hearing in the homes. Parents, you walk with God yourself. Don't be too busy. Your children need you. They need your influence. In this day and age, let me give you another little thought. Err on the side of caution. There's so much new stuff. You say, what is stuff? Stuff out there. It would take a lifetime to just keep up with all of it. Err on this. You might want to just say, oh, but dad, I don't care. By the way, let me just help you, mom and dad. Just because all the kids are doing it, let me get an announcement. I'll help you. Just because all the, by the way, who are all the other kids anyway? Just because all the other kids are doing it, you don't have to be arrogant. You don't have to say, listen, our name is Ibershoff. We love the Myers. We love the Espositos. We love the Stevensons. We love the Castles. And I'm not saying they're wrong for doing what they're doing, but we're not doing that in our house. And I'm not saying they're bad, and I'm not even saying they're wrong. I don't have the time to study it, and I don't have the time to figure it out, and I'm not giving an account for the Pinedas. I'm not going to give an account for the Rosses. I'm giving an account for my family. And I'm sorry. Let's go out for some milkshakes, and let's go have a good time, but we're not doing that. We're not going to have that. You say, well, Pastor, what if it's not sin? I'm going to just tell you tonight, I can't figure out all what's going on. This is good. This is bad. This is good. This technology is. And you say, well, my mom and dad just need to catch up. No, they don't need to do anything. They just need to love you and love God, and that's it. Appreciate cautious leaders trying to protect your children. Bolly, I like Brother Ray Pritchard. Brother Ray Pritchard, he's not that smart. Somebody say amen. But I'll tell you what, he loves God. His wife loves God. And I'll tell you where he errs on the side of caution. And every once in a while, that little Filipino tornado that gets up there and preaches and starts yelling about everything, you might want to just say amen. I'm glad he's our Filipino pastor. You'd rather have him than someone's going, well, you know, I am not sure about, I think this is okay for the kids to go over there and hang out. I know they're smoking marijuana, but your children need to smell it so they know what it smells like. That man needs to be fired. Okay? Learn and understand how dangerous technology is to the souls of your children. Why don't you turn, please, to Proverbs chapter 6. That was all introduction. Proverbs chapter 6. Learn and understand how dangerous technology is to the souls of your children. Get help from those that understand technology better than you. Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse 25. Now, there's all kinds of dangers in technology. You can become a what do you call them, Brother Joseph? Muslim extremists? Radical. You can. Don't they have like lessons on how to train you to be a radical online? Yeah. And some of these guys, that's where they're learning. They're not going to Saudi Arabia. They're right here in America, and it's right on. You can literally. You can learn how to build a bomb. Probably bomb my house after this sermon. You can learn how to build a bomb. There's all kinds of stuff online. I'm afraid I'm going to start giving people ideas, and you're supposed to be simple about evil. My humble opinion, the most dangerous thing in technology is immorality. Immorality. Now, there's a lot of other things. There's bomb making. I'm sure they'll teach you how to grow marijuana. All kinds of stuff. Making radical Muslims. Okay. Now I could be wrong, but my experience. I'm just telling my experience. I'm not getting this. There's no 500-foot Jesus showed up in my house. But my experience with internet and all the bad internet experiences as a pastor with husbands in our church, husbands from other places, men, young people, teenagers, elementary students, the biggest poison in the technology that we have is immorality. By the way, it's mostly the men, but it's the ladies too. Oh, you shouldn't say that in church. It's about the only place where it's being said now. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25. Lust not after her beauty. Of course, you know, why don't you do this? Look at verse 22. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp. The law is a light. Reproofs of correction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman. From the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. I got strange women coming to my computer. By the way, Sarah, you need to come help me. I don't know what's going on. I'm getting these things that come up. Are you 50? How do they know how old I am? That's scary. How do they know how old I am? To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by the means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for a precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? By the way, remember Jesus said, if you lust after in your heart, you're committing adultery. I've never done that. There's a lot of this going on right here, in this right here. A lot of this stuff's going on all over the world because of the internet. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go on to hot coals and his fire not be burned? So, and by the way, girls, let me just say this. There's boys on the internet. Some boy trying to find you on the internet. Let me tell you. I'm not omnipresent. I don't know everything. But let me tell you this. Before he was on with you, let me tell you what he may have been on, and he probably was on. If he's haphazard about who he's contacting and stuff like that, he's probably been involved with some pornography. And when he's trying to contact you, he's just not trying to see what type of toenail polish you wear. That's right. Oh, Pastor, why would you say something like that in church? It's not being said anywhere else. Now, I believe it is being said in some of our homes because we got good dads in our church. So is he, verse 29, so is he to go in his neighbor's house, his wife. Whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his own soul when he's hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Look at verse 32. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman, by the way, Jesus, and I say it again, he said that either in your heart. It could happen in the real life. It's also in your heart. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. Look at this next little phrase. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. That's your mind, will, and your emotions. Look here. Those that are involved with pornography, God says they're destroying their own soul. Joseph, why don't you come up here a minute? I'm going to show you some things. We have some sort of dangerous things up here. Are you wondering what this is up here? Okay. Let's pull the first one out. Okay, this is just a little poisonous snake. Why don't you go down there and show the girls? Show your wife. This is a little snake here. Now, actually, I'm trying to get a rattlesnake. And we found out that you can get a rattlesnake that's got its venom taken out. But the guy said, don't do it. You got to get a permit. And the fangs, if they grab you, the fangs, what'd he say? Leave a mark that you'll never lose. In other words, it won't be fun. Okay? Let's bring a little snakey over here. Now, most of us, let's say that who has all girls? Who has all girls in our church? Yeah, right there. Probably, let's say all the girls were living at home. Probably you're not going to let that snake just loose in the house, even if it's not poisoned, right? Oh, okay. Come on, don't mess up my illustrations. Okay. You had a couple girls in your house. I mean, do you think the girls, if they had their own bedroom, you want this to run around? Probably not. Okay. Brother Pay said, I wouldn't let them in my room with it. Okay. All right. Put that one away. Thanks, Brother Robert. You just messed me up. Just kidding. Okay. Can you hear it for us, Kitty? All right, let's go to the next one. Okay. Now, these are slingshots. And these are the modern slingshots. David had a slingshot. He was able to kill a bear and a lion. My boys, by the way, I like my boys being boys. Okay? I don't like my little boys wearing tight pants. Okay? And looking like Hollywood people. By the way, if Hollywood's wearing it, I'm not wearing it. And I don't want my boys to wear it, even though I got to fight it. Okay? I'd rather... anyway. But this is my boy. Now, I let my boys play slingshot. But we don't let them play slingshot in the house with us not home. And the truth of the matter is we don't let them go outside and play slingshot against each other. This could be dangerous. Wouldn't you say that? Okay, let's get another one. This would possibly could be dangerous. Let's get another one. This is, what is this? Pepper spray. Okay, now, my wife, I think she still carries pepper spray. She also carries a 45. No, I'm just kidding. It's pepper spray. How many of you girls carry pepper spray? Any girls out there carry pepper spray? Any? Mace, pepper spray? High heels? No. Now, I wouldn't let my... Look, I promise you... Where's Nathaniel? Where are you, Nathaniel? Oh, he's on the patio. I promise you, if I let Nathaniel have this, someone's getting sprayed. And he'll say it was on accident. I promise you. Oh, your son? Yes, my son. And he's probably spraying your son. That is going to, someone's going to, we'll be here. Ah! So you know what? We don't give these to the 10-year-olds. And I think to have pepper spray, or one of them, I think you have to have a class or something. So I don't know where we got this. It's illegal. Now, this is a BB gun. Now, my boys have BB guns. We have slingshots. We have BB guns. And now, I told it somewhere. When we first started the church, number one, the teenagers we had were less than spiritual, and they weren't very careful either, okay? They were new Christians. They didn't know a whole lot, okay? And we went up camping one time. I took all the boys. We'd teach them. We'd go up there and preach and teach to them and just get them away from the city. And the boys had brought some BB guns, and I didn't know it. They were out in the woods having BB guns. By the way, this is not loaded, just to let you know. They were shooting at each other. Not the birds, not the squirrels, not the skunks, at each other. One of them came in, a little crying a little bit. I like when teenage boys cry. Just sort of fun to watch. He had a BB in his ear right there. You know the cartilage? It was stuck in his cartilage. So we had to just sort of like a zit, pop it out. Another time, we had a boy, and by the way, I didn't give him permission. That just like Nathaniel would be spraying somebody. These kids brought guns. They thought they were like undercover agents or something. They were out there shooting each other. One guy got one right in the cheek. It got stuck. And I remember, I was thinking about the other day, and I don't remember now. We couldn't get that one out. The other one we popped out like a zit. This one was stuck in his cheek. I'm thinking, what if he got it in his eye? Okay, I probably yelled a little bit and all that stuff. We had to go to the ranger, you know, and humble ourselves and say, you know, these guys are doing BBs. Now, that is not a toy. Don't let the kids be out there playing by themselves with it. Would you agree? Slingshots. Okay, what do we got here next? Now, this is not loaded. This is, I went paintballing with a bunch of the boys once. And I thought, this is great. Took the boys out paintballing. And I think Brother Ross was there. I can't remember who was all. I think Josh Barker was there. And it was unbelievable. Man, I thought I was Rambo. And I don't know what Rambo is because I don't watch that stuff. But Brother Ross told me about Rambo. And I'm shooting guys up. But man, this is great. And then I got shot in the forehead. I had my gear on, and I became a Ramboette. I began to take cover. I'm hiding. I'm going, that hurts. How many have ever been shot by a paintball? Okay, it hurts. This is not something you let the children run around the backyard shooting at each other. This is dangerous. Now, it's okay, supervised. You get your gear on. You got a couple dads around there saying, don't be shooting your brother right in the eyeball. You got a little supervision there, okay? So same thing with the BBs. I'm all for it. It'd be great. Let's go out. We'll go out in the country. We'll shoot, you know, have some bullseyes and stuff like that. Same thing with these. Okay, now, my boys have knives, okay? They have knives. They have a bunch of knives. Mike West just sent us more knives. And they got knives. It's got Pacific Baptist on it, and some of the staff got them. And my boys have knives. Okay, now, Nathaniel, back to him. Nathaniel is a problem waiting to happen. He asks to do everything, and he's always asking to see the knives, and he always wants to take the knives. When I say, son, we take the knives when we go camping. When we go fishing, you guys can carry the knives when you're with me, okay? And that's fine. They're with me. Carry your knives. You know, they're not, you know, at each other. But we're not letting the kids play with knives by themselves. Amen? Okay, now. So we have knives, but you don't let them do it by themselves. Don't let them go, hey, go ahead, go paintballing. That's all right. Go to the riverbed, you know, eyeballs out. Don't do that. This is All this is, what do you call that? brass knuckles. You know what this is? This is just something that illegal. You see that right there? That is something, it's like something you hang up like an antique. You don't use that. You don't let your kids play with that. You don't let your kids mess with that. It's just something that you don't do. Okay, now, we asked the police officer in our church, that we have a gun here. It's not loaded. There's no cartridge. There's no shells in there. Just let you know this is legal, and nobody's going to get shot. Okay, now, this is I have right here, this is a 45, okay? That's a gun. It's got a lock box, okay? And then it has that on it, okay? If there was a shell in there, you can't have a shell in there. There's no clip in there. I got clips at my house. You see that right there? By the way, my boys have shot this before. I think all of them. Ben, have you shot this one? Okay, how old are you? 12? 12, he shot it. Daniel shot it. Tim shot it. Joseph shot it. Nathaniel, he may have. This is not something for the kids to have in their bedroom when nobody's around. Loaded. Okay? It's just not. We have, this is under double lock and key. Here's another one. Let's see here. Oh, I just broke it. Oh. This is, what is that? 9mm. 38. I don't know what it is. No clip in it. There's nothing in there. This here is very dangerous. I have five boys. And by the way, my boys have slingshots, and they have BB guns, and they have knives. But you say, Pastor, where are the knives? They're in my bedroom. You say, why? You don't trust them? You got it, Buster. Now, you see those things right there? Those will destroy the body. But I want to come over here to show you something that will destroy the soul. Come over here, Joseph. By the way, I'd rather have my leg blown off than my soul destroyed. Where are we going to start? Laptop. How many I have a laptop? How many in this church have a laptop? This is like that 45. This is like that BB gun. Okay? This is similar to these. The only thing is, this thing right here, all those have a good purpose for them. That one, I don't know, the whatever you call them. The knife knuckles, not brass knuckles. Okay? By the way, this one here is probably the least dangerous up here because it's big. It'd be sort of hard for a boy to take it in the bed with him, though he could. Okay? What's this? iPad? That's an iPad. Can you tell us what we can do with this? Why don't you grab a mic? What can we do with this? Okay, I know good things. I know this, you have access to the internet, right? Full-blown internet. This is just like a laptop, just smaller. Okay. So basically, if you have an iPad, by the way, some parents say, well, I don't have internet on it. Let me say this, and I don't understand how it works. I'm going to pass a little paper out a little bit. Maybe it'll help you. I know this. You can walk down the street and get internet because this assisted living facility next door has three, what do you call them, carriers? Access points. So your son, if he doesn't have internet, he can go right out in front of that building and get it. I know sometimes I'm at a hotel and we're trying to get internet and for some reason the hotel's internet's not working. We get some other, I don't know what you call it, carrier, okay? This is the second least dangerous. What's this? This is iPad, same thing. Tablet. Okay? You see all these? I say this, and I mean it, and I don't think people listen to me, but I hope you do. We used to, and I don't mean we as a church, but in years gone by, if there was a pornography bookstore, a dirty bookstore, and they'd have little old reel-to-reel films, and they'd have like a back room, and the Christians would protest. By the way, not only the Christians would protest, the unsaved people would protest. The unsaved people said, we don't want that in our neighborhood. We don't want our boys to be polluted. We don't want our girls to be around polluted boys. Get that out of here. Where they get try to get the city to approve. And now, guess what now? Now we have pornographic bookstores in our son's bedroom. Do you know there's, by the way, this is more than one bookstore. This is many bookstores. I can't remember. Someone sent me something recently. How many pornographic sites are on here? Right here. So your son's walking down the street. That's what he has. Okay? What's this called? Same thing. Mini iPad. Put that one in your pocket. That one has a bigger picture than the phone. What's this? iPod. Can you email with people this? So you could do everything on this that you have here. Okay. But what's this called? iPod? iPod. So if your son or your daughter has one of these, they can email people? Say, oh, but we don't have internet access. What, huh? Okay. Yeah. Wherever. A bunch of us would weep if we knew what was going on with, by the way, I don't mean there's an epidemic in our church, but if there's five boys that are getting on internet pornography in this church, we all ought to weep. And if there's some girl that's communicating with some ungodly guy that is not just trying to say hi, they just say hi at first. They're just saying hi at first. We had a weep. What's this? That's a cell phone. Is there anything smaller than this? These? This is it? But, okay. Let me, do we have a handout back there, guys? Ushers, do we have a handout? Why don't we pass it out? We got someone to play the piano while we pass this out. Let me pass this out. We're done. You see these? Say, oh, those don't look any. These here are a lot more dangerous than those. A lot more. Thanks, guys. Can I have one of those too, Brother Paul? Apostle Paul said, be wise about good, simple about evil. You see this? All this stuff has created our children. And I don't mean all of our children. To lose their innocence. Hey, Dad, protect your daughter's innocence like you'd protect her from a pit bull. And all this technology stuff, Dad, if you do not know 100% about the technology, you tell your little sweetheart and your little Brutus, no. And then if you know enough, okay, you know enough and you say, well, all the kids have them. That's okay. Let me just read this. And by the way, I don't understand this. I heard a sermon the other day. If you have large families and you have good older children, they're going to help you with your younger children. And I said, amen to that. Because I don't understand this. I don't use iPod. I don't use an iPad. I don't use a YouTube, whatever that stuff is. iPods, iPads, cell phones, and laptops. Let me just read this, okay? And then we'll be done. iTouches, iPods, cell phones, laptops, tablets, and many other devices have access to the internet. And once you have access to the internet, you have access to the pit of Hades. You understand that? You got access to all kinds of junk. In a world of danger, this also includes gaming devices like PSP, PlayStation Portable, PS Vita, or Vita, the Jungle, another device, and Nintendo DS, and I don't know all this stuff, 3Ds and DSi and, you know, FBI, I don't know, capabilities. Number one, internet, full-blown internet, anywhere Wi-Fi is available. Too many times I've heard of our kids getting internet access from from neighbors, the senior home next door, Starbucks, McDonald's, and pretty much anywhere now. Just flip the Wi-Fi on and you're surfing the web like it's a computer screen. Number two, apps. Just on the iTouch and iPhone and iPods, there are over 1,500 adult-specific, have the words adult apps in their title. Apps available at the click of a button. By the way, what is it? The little iPod, or iPod's the littler one, right? iPod, where, okay, well my son's listening to the sermons, and now my son has an iPod, and is what have you done? We've deactivated it and made it so he can't put apps on it. Now, to be quite frank with you, I think I know what an app is, but I'm going to act like I do know what an app is. It's something to bring something new to your device. Is that pretty good? Thanks. Number three, email, chat, text with the above. But I tell you what, I don't want my kids talking to anybody unless they're in front of me. Well, it's sister so-and-so's daughter. I don't care. It's dangerous out there. It's dangerous out there. And by the way, let me say this. It's much more dangerous than you think. Yeah, every once in a while, Brother Ledwich is talking about the radical Muslims and all that they're trying to do in our country. We're not even listening to him, but he's right. Do you know why? Because he studies it. He knows it. He knows their names. I was with him he drove me to Monterey Park. He was quoting their names. I'm thinking, he didn't even have notes. That's how fathers need to be with their children on what in the world's going on. It's a mess out there. There's all kinds of scary stuff out there. And if you're not sure, just let your kids sit back home and watch Andy Griffin reruns. By the way, I'm sorry if you say, I don't have children, I don't plan on having children, mine are all grown up. Maybe someday you can help a family member that's wondering what happened to their kid. Say, listen, get all that junk. Make sure you know what's going on, because there's a reason your son's back there locked in there for 12 hours a day because he's addicted to pornography. Or your daughter's developing a relationship with some guy that she should never even be in the presence of, and they talk to each other every day. Amen? Email, chat, and text, number three. With the above comes the ability to email, text, or chat anyone, anytime, with anyone online. Many Christian young people are communicating with fleshly, carnal, worldly Christians that God commands even us adults to separate from. Number four, good games, apps have bad advertisements. Also, innocent games are what a lot of our kids have been chatting to each other on. And it's hard to log chat history on these. You can say whatever and no one will know. Also, many of the games that the students play at home. By the way, we do not have a big problem with this, but you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to prevent us from having a big problem with this. This stuff is scary. Also, many of the games that the students play at home that are connected to the TV have internet access, and their kids are chatting at 2 a.m. in the morning. They were chatting with the people who were on the missions trip in Cambodia. Mom and Dad, I hope you know that you're, by the way, there's nothing wrong with your children chatting with the people in Cambodia at 2 o'clock in the morning. But I got one question. What are your kids doing awake at 2 o'clock in the morning? And I got another question. Were you there with them to make sure those were the only people they were talking to? Maybe that's all it was, and maybe you planned it, and maybe it was, and that's fine. I understand that. And if they were, wonderful. Thank you for staying up until 2 o'clock in the morning to be an encouragement to the people in Cambodia. But let's not be so naive. What are you doing in there? We're having a prayer meeting online. Oh, okay. I hope you are. Restrictions you should have for these. Number one, no internet access, password restricted. I don't know what that means, but I'm all for it. Number two, no access to download apps. In other words, if your child has one of these devices, no internet, and they can't do this, and, you know, it's blah, blah, blah. If I understand correctly, my son, he has one of those iPods, but if he went out in front of this Magnolia Royale and there's internet access, he can't have that access, correct? But he can't have apps on his, right? Can't download apps. I know you're going, well, then why have it? Well, then throw it away. I thought it's just for music and listen to preaching. I think I just read there's 1,500 adult-specific apps. And all your child needs one to pollute their soul. In here again, I said from the beginning, wouldn't it be good if everybody was just a strong enough Christian where we didn't have to do this? But let me say, ever since Adam and Eve and their kids and the whole nine yards, we have never had everybody that strong. So what we got to do is every once in a while just spend a little time on something like this. Number three, have your child's email and chat password. Any email or chat he sends or receives is liable to pop up on your phone, and he's very aware of that. He said, man, this sounds like you're spying on your kids. It doesn't sound like it. That's exactly what you're doing. You mean you don't trust little Billy? I thought he memorized Jesus wept. Memorize Psalms 119, and we might give you a little space. Okay, let's stand together.